There are a number of health and social services available to individuals for...
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Today we're going to talk about creative writing. I started writing about the age of 8, and I was encouraged, so I kept going. By the time I was a senior in high school, my teacher encouraged me to put my project into a book form, and I did and donated it to some libraries. So now I'm volunteering with some middle schoolers in a creative writing class to encourage them, and I'm learning more than they are. Did you know that writing can help you to organize your thoughts, to change what you're trying to say, or you can express things that otherwise might be rejected if you try to do it verbally. So get your pencils ready. I want you to listen, to learn, and to write a blurb to put on my radio blog to tell me what you think about creative writing at the drmelanieshow.com. First, we're going to hear from their teacher, Maureen Yoder, who teaches at the School of the Arts in Tallahassee, Florida. Let's hear what she has to say about teaching these creative students. Today, I am fortunate to have somebody on the show that I get to have a personal interaction with every week in her class, Miss Maureen Yoder, who is a creative writing teacher. Is that your official title?
English teacher.
English teacher. Okay. What made you decide to become a teacher?
I think actually that teaching decided itself upon me.
Okay.
I think it's always been, I've loved English and I've always loved school. And when I finally became or thought about this career, my mother wasn't even surprised. She told me I used to be able to take my three brothers when I was growing up and make them sit down and play school with me on my chalkboard and the books and everything. So I think it ultimately, though, was my love of English. I just loved English, and it led me right into teaching.
Did you have a particular mentor or a favorite teacher that inspired you?
That was Colleen. I've had many mentors and teachers. Not one particular one, no.
Okay. Well, that's good that there wasn't a particular one, but that teachers can have an influence on students, whether it's just one teacher or many, accumulation over the student's career. So that's good.
Right. In college, I think the creative writing aspect of my curriculum and love of English really came to play. And I had some really brilliant creative writing teachers in college that inspired me to bring writing into such a big part of my English curriculum.
So did you get to choose to teach at the School of the Arts, or did you just happen to fall into that position?
A little of both. I was teaching at my first year of teaching, and it was not going so well. And I ran into some people who were starting a charter school. Mm-hmm. And it was right after the state of Florida began legislation and allowed charter schools for the state. And so I joined a team of dedicated teachers and professionals, and we, the five of us, took 3 years to start this charter school. And we got it started in 1999 and have been teaching like crazy ever since.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, an experience.
I'll bet. I'll bet. You have many stories I bet you could talk about concerning that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about creative writing. And for me, it uses a different part of the brain than you might in other classes that middle school students are involved in. So is that difficult for them when they first come into your class to be able to think out of that, out of the box and, you know, from the right side of the brain? I mean, is it difficult or easy? Or?
Well, segueing from the last answer, at our school, we have been nurturing their creativity, which is a natural component of childhood and a natural tool of their learning. But they've been learning to think and learn creatively from kindergarten. And so if they've gone up through the ranks at our school, K through 5, and join our middle school, they are quite used to nurturing that tool of creativity in their learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so here at SAS, they really use creativity as a tool. We're really lucky we have electives in the middle school that is part of their daily curriculum, even with dance and drama and mass media and art, and we interchange incredibly. And so I think art and science is a really good blend. So creativity is good for the sciences, as well as the logic of science is good for the creative arts. And we interchange it constantly. So it's not hard for them to come into middle school and join a writing workshop where they can think outside the box.
Okay. Well, do most of the students come through from kindergarten all the way through, or do you get students that matriculate in and some that leave and go elsewhere?
It depends. We always have, of course, attrition and kids leave and move. This year we had a large number of new students, and I think we got really lucky and attracted a lot of really nice students, or we're lucky to get students because we are on a lottery system, but a good majority, I would say 75% to 80% on an average basis, stick with the school K through 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it would be such an adjustment to go back to a traditional school setting where the creativity may not be welcomed.
Correct. And we have some students who, when they move, they miss our school very much.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking, how can we make sure my grandson is going to be eligible to enter? He's not quite two.
Put him on the lotto.
Yeah. We'll
work
on it.
Put him on the list.
Yes, definitely. Well, do the students have to be able to use abstract reasoning to write creatively?
I really liked this question. I really did. See, it's important for them at this age to develop abstract reasoning. Cognitively, the middle school years are when they are transitioning from concrete thought to abstract thought.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their bridge. This is their middle years. So more important than having to comprehend abstract reasoning, we are expecting them to develop abstract reasoning. And that's one of the things I like about our multi-age classrooms, is that the older kids help introduce their burgeoning cognitive abilities as they grasp more abstract abilities.
Hmm.
So they write through their maturing. That is, they write what they know, and if they write concretely this semester, they will write more abstractly next semester. So they excel because they write a lot, and they just naturally mature, and their writing keeps up with them as they mature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of awesome to watch their work evolve abstractly as they grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the great benefits of multi-age classrooms.
Yes, and I see just in the small group I'm working with 9 students 1 hour a week, I watch how the younger ones begin to comprehend things. You can see that light bulb go off, and they go, oh, that's what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good learning lesson for me when I'm trying to give them an assignment that I think is very easy to comprehend, and I look at them, and they're looking back at me, and they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps me to see that they don't understand. So maybe if they don't understand, maybe the adults I'm communicating with don't understand either.
Yeah, I believe that.
Mm-hmm. So
we inform each other constantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even when I've given something that I thought was simple, I've learned until they can tell me back in their own words, this is what they think I'm asking them to do. I don't know if they've gotten it or not.
Yes, that
so
is true.
It's been good teaching for me.
Yes, teachers are lifelong learners.
Yes, yes. So if you have a student, and we've had a couple in my group that were reluctant at first to kind of express their thoughts, maybe they'd write them, but then they weren't so sure they wanted to read them. And as the weeks go by, their voice gets a little bit stronger, more animated. So how do you encourage those that are reluctant to come out to express themselves?
Well, I have a little bit of leverage in that the kids are required to write and rewrite in order to see them pass the class.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a little bit of leverage. But an effort is everything to me, because when you write, you get better. So just as long as you're writing, you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, writing really is a huge challenge, and it's probably one of the hardest disciplines there is. And it should be hard, because it's incredibly powerful and important to evolve our brains.
Mm-hmm.
Creating and imagining is not that hard, which is why I really love to teach writing through creative writing. Imagining and creating is really second nature for most, and quite accessible to all, even if they don't think of themselves as creative thinkers. So when you apply that creating the aspect and you tell the kids that they can write a story or a poem or an essay or a script or anything about anything they want, it can be very liberating for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're quite curious, and then they begin to wonder. And then if they're still reluctant, you know, we tell them that's what we concentrate on, just the creativity of it, not the writing of it, which can prohibit them lots of times when they're young. So we tell them they can write about anything. But even if they're reluctant at the very beginning, because sometimes then they get overwhelmed because of the choice. There's so much choice. Now what am I going to write about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we let some of the older kids go first, and their stories are about anything and everything, from love triangles to zombie apocalypse, parents dying to other worlds, and they realize that they really do have a world of opportunity, so then they stick their toes in.
Mm-hmm.
They start writing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we begin writing workshop with that premise. You might remember this when we first started, Dr. Melanie, where we really believe that life is a conglomeration of stories and that storytelling is part of the human condition.
Yes.
And we are stories. We live stories. Therefore, we are all quite capable of the work of writing workshop. We can tell. We can recognize a good story. We can create stories because it's inherently part of us.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody fits into writing workshop. There's nobody who cannot participate. And so then we build their trust that way, and they realize that it really is the story that we're going after. Then that's how we hook them.
Yes.
And then when we hook them creatively, then we tell them, then we teach them the skills that apply to all writing, that writing is a process, and when you rewrite, it gets better, and when you edit and you critique and you revise, you begin developing thought, you begin developing whole stories and whole essays. So when they learn how to write creatively, I do think then that they can apply their skills of writing to many different avenues of writing.
Yes.
Which is so important.
It is.
If you try teaching them how to write technically at first, they shut down because it's really hard.
Right.
So, but if you teach it first through the creative aspect, you hook them into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just one other thing that I think really helps with reluctant writers, and that is people that their peers and their teachers read and respond to their work.
Yes.
Intricately and in great detail. And that's why it works so well, getting these small groups and getting people like you, Dr. Melanie, to help these kids, because there's somebody who will read and respond to their work, and that makes them want to go back and write more.
Oh, good. All right. Well, at this point in time, that's a good place for us to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more about the particulars involved in the writing. So let's take a break.
That was my favorite question, I think, Dr. Melanie.
Okay, good. All right. Okay. Well, let's take a break.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Language arts teacher Maureen Yoder is sharing with us what it's like to teach creative writing to bright students. Doesn't this make you want to go volunteer at your local school? Let's hear some more. I'm back here with Miss Maureen Yoder, and we're talking about creative writing. And she's a teacher, an English teacher, that teaches creative writing at a school where I volunteer. It's called the School of the Arts in Tallahassee, Florida. And I want to talk about what happens to the kids when they take this class. How does it impact them on their other classes? Do you find that they are more creative in other classes, taking more challenges? What do you find?
I believe that at our school, we have a pretty unique place in that the skills of writing and creativity are interchangeable and woven into a way of learning throughout their curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that what we can do in language arts helps them with science, the social studies, and their elective classes, as well as those classes help them become better creative writers. You would not believe how much science has helped them write their science fiction and fantasy stories, and how much the social studies have helped them write adventure and even foreign country settings in their stories. So it's very interchangeable at SAS, and our kids apply their skills across the board. And like I said earlier, they're taught to do these things at a young age, to take those risks and to apply those risks of demonstration and presentation and performance and cooperative learning. They're able to take each discipline and cross their skills and talents. But the emphasis on writing that we're able to provide for them in language arts, I think is also very important.
Oh, I do, yeah. And what I like is the atmosphere when I go there. It's a very relaxed campus. Yes. There's rules and there's guidelines, but the kids are out on a picnic table or they're outside doing something experiential, learning that way, rather than you have to sit in your seat for this many minutes out of the period and you must do this and you have to follow these instructions. And
yet, coincidentally or funny enough, we have a very relaxed atmosphere, but with a very rigorous curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of the reason why it can be so relaxed is we're quite a small community. You know, we're a small campus. We have just under 250 students K through 8 and 90 middle school students. So that adds an air of ease and comfort and familiarity, I think is important. But we go after authentic learning. So we don't worry so much about, you know, whether the classes are sitting in rows Mm-hmm. There are more that were working.
Yes.
So.
That's good. Well, having taught this curriculum for all these years, has it sparked your own creativity, or are you too exhausted at the end of the day to think about your own creative abilities?
Well, teaching is all about creativity, so I'm never in a short supply of that atmosphere. Especially at this charter school, I can write my own curriculum.
Oh, good.
So that is just, yes, it's outstanding. And I work with an inherently dynamic and creative subject area. So growing in skill and craft has been incredibly beneficial to whatever writing or performing I might do. But I really don't get a lot of time to write. Mm-hmm. Fiction anyway. I write all the time, but I don't write my own stories.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen someday. I figure that right now I'm learning to write so well that it will, when I write my fiction stories, when I get older, everything that I've learned up till now through them and with them will just inspire me to tell my stories then later.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I write all the time now.
I was just going to say, you got to write on a daily basis is what is recommended. And for me, I kept journals for years of all these ideas and all these things that I was going to do. And then you just have to set yourself a time that, okay, today's the day to start.
Exactly. And discipline is incredibly important in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I write every day. I just don't write my fiction. I write notes and poems and plans and lists and letters. And the kids have talked me into writing a short story or a poem here and there for workshops. So one of these days I'll have the time to be able to discipline to writing a novel.
Yes.
That idea is very exciting, but not yet time.
Okay. But be developing it. Don't wait until, you know, you have a block of time. Start now.
That's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, writing is something everybody needs to know how to do, no matter what your intellectual level is. You still do know the proper grammar and proper punctuation and all that kind of stuff. But do you see schools nowadays value it as much as this charter school does?
No.
No.
Unfortunately, at least in my experience, I know that they are out there because there are great writers everywhere and in every school. But as a general rule, I think it's been very difficult for teachers in other schools to develop and promote writing skills because it's an incredibly time-intensive part of the curriculum, and a lot of teachers are burdened with a tremendous number of students, especially mm-hmm. in middle school and high school, and that's very difficult to work into everything else that they have to teach as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me it is so necessary that whether it takes a lot of time or not, that it is incredibly important to promote writing skills because writing is truly necessary for the evolvement of thought and idea.
Mm-hmm.
If we care to develop cognitively, then we have to write in order to develop thought and idea and expression. And writing teaches us to organize and produce thought, to describe and plan and relate. It deepens our thought and communicates our thinking to others. And without effective skills to write, education is incredibly limiting, and so we become stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Our cognitive abilities become stagnant without the tools and experience of writing. So I have a, this is my soapbox.
Good.
I think that writing should be a prioritized part of every school for
mm-hmm.
students. And I think it needs to begin early.
Yes.
Even in concrete thought.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if you can write, you can communicate.
Yes.
And if you cannot write, it doesn't matter what you say. If you can't back it up with something written, then it hasn't happened.
Indeed, and it's even more than that. It helps you develop thought and to think deeper and to even communicate with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To become smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. you have to use the tools of writing to organize and and imagine and describe and persuade, and it's the ability to express thought both for yourself and for other people. And you need to write to grow cognitively. Yes. It's pretty much that simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to encourage when I'd work with a parent who had a teenager issue, conflict, generational miscommunication issue, I'd say, keep a journal.
Yes.
Write a question to your teenager, leave the journal on their bed, and that anything that's discussed in the journal cannot be discussed out loud between you. It can only be discussed in the journal. And by doing that, a number of the parental teenager issues were resolved.
Yes. Kids are desperate to seek ways to express themselves. And if you might have noticed, Dr. Melanie, when you interviewed the kids, how many of them said it was such an important way of expressing themselves and who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they could hide behind characters or situations, but it really is who they are and a way of expressing their very selves.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think one kid said, everybody needs that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That person didn't say that. So when they're in your class and they're writing their pieces of creativity in expression, what sort of resources are available? I know thesaurus, but what other sorts of things can they use to draw on to give them ideas?
I like this question too, because it will relate to you. Actually, our greatest resources are each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin with the volunteer teachers. We are really lucky to live in a college town.
Mm-hmm.
And we've developed a friendship with the creative writing department at FSU, led by Elizabeth Stuckey French. And she'll lend us student writing teachers.
Oh.
I know, and it's absolute magic when those college students come out to work and write with their handful of middle school students. And then we have a lot of talented parents and community volunteers, such as yourself,
mm-hmm.
to work with the kids. And I don't think there's been a volunteer in the 14 years of workshop who has not been reciprocally grateful for the experience, because we are. You know, the teachers mm-hmm. that come in there provide a new perspective and a wealth of knowledge that is beyond their classroom. And they teach them how writing is real in the grown-up world as well as their world. And so having volunteers allows us to have this writing workshop set up the way it is in small groups with a lot of trust
mm-hmm.
and communication amongst each other. We're inspired by each other's. And then there's the peers themselves who are of the greatest resources.
Mm-hmm.
As a class, we talk about books all the time. The kids talk about movies and plays and video games. They talk about their interests and their lives, what they're learning in science and social studies and all of that.
Oh.
So that's probably our richest resource. But other than that, we have visiting authors from time to time. And we basically and consistently provide a literacy-rich environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are constantly inspired just by going to our school, I think. And the homes of the parents as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We love what we're doing, and they create literacy-rich environments in their home as well.
Good.
So, yeah.
So in summing everything up, at the end of their school year, is everything they've written compiled? Do other people get to see it other than just the group that they're working in?
We used to, at the very beginning when we first started, we had 50 middle school students. And we tried, we probably have 3 or 4 anthologies from the early years.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't anymore. I have 90 students now.
Oh.
And it is unbelievably tremendous amount of work by the time you have to edit it and proofread it.
Mm-hmm.
Make copies, and then make the binding books, and it's too large.
Well, if there was a volunteer that wanted to do that, some parent or some volunteer that comes in to teach, that would be a nice project for them to do.
Yes, and I think that's how I've even made it work before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody wanted to contact you to get more information, to find out, you know, what could they do to develop such a curriculum at their school? How would they get in contact?
So the way you can get in contact with Maureen Yoder is to go to Yoderm, like Maureen, at leonschools.net. So let's go to a break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Now we're going to be privileged to be allowed inside the minds of middle school students to tell us what they think creative writing means to them. Let's hear.
My name is Ashley Norton, and the title of my story is Creative Writing. When I think of creative writing, I think of all the elements of writing splashing out onto the paper. Creative writing needs color, imagination, and grammar. It's just a process that takes time and patience to deal with. Sometimes it's like you're writing a once-upon-a-time story with all the details, characters, and the setting. That's all part of creative writing. When we are writing, sometimes we have to elaborate on our ideas and really picture them so we can get a good understanding about it. I feel like creative writing is always sensational and fun. When we visualize the moral of the story in our minds, it begins to make sense when we write it on paper. Creative writing is really exciting and inspirational when we think and imagine it. Sometimes it can be stressing, frustrating, and hard, but at the end, it's all worth it. And then it just turns into a rainbow on the paper. We really have to be active and stay so we can understand it better on the paper.
It's Diamond Burns, and the topic of my story is creative writing. Okay. When I think of creative writing, I think about funniness. I think about being yourself and being open-minded. What creative writing means to me is to kind of improv, like make it up as you go. Creative writing is all about your thoughts and you. When you do creative writing stories, you can make it up as you go. To me, creative writing is juicy. You are able to put your ups and downs in it. You can put your imagination in it, too. You can get to make up your own characters and do what you want. You are able to make up your own plot, what you want. When I also think of creative writing, I think of me. Creative writing is all about you. No one else but you. Creative writing is like a piece of pie. You can be done with it in a heartbeat. Creative writing is fun. Also, to me, creative writing is artistic because you get to describe and put your own dialogue. Also, creative writing is energizing. You can start the plot or stop it. Creative writing is everything you can think of.
My name is Gabe Robertson, and my title is Creative Writing, What It Means to Me. Creative writing is a way to express things that are good. Professional and colorful. Creative writing can be any type of form that you want it to be. You can write in cursive or manuscript. Creative writing allows the writer to express themselves in any kind of way that truly lets them go nuts. The writer has total freedom and control over the subject, characters, and environment of the story. It could be a novel or a biography. It can be a play or a horror story, or even a sci-fi. Creative writing can be a fact or fiction or a combination of both. Heck, while I'm writing this, I can't help thinking how cool creative writing really is. I might just go do some creative writing after I'm done with this. Creative writing allows you to simplify, write it down. It could be something that just happened, hasn't yet happened, or something that will never happen in a million years. You don't have to be a professional writer or a professional whistler. You just will have the will to sit down or stand up. It's not exactly science, and let it flow right out of the pen or pencil, crayon, Sharpie, carving on the table room. I dig it.
My name is Maya Levy, and the title of my story is Creative Writing. Creative writing is an outlet where I can get rid of scaly, screeching, sour things that make me stressed or worried. It is also something that can help me grow, personally and academically. Creative writing is also a fun way to be able to just have fun and include words like chewy, salty, sweet, and fuzzy in my story. When I use words like these, it helps me express myself, and that is key to being happy. Learning to write in a way that facilitates my imagination is an awesome thing, and I'm glad that we've been given that opportunity here at the School of Arts and Sciences. I know personally that I'm taking advantage of this opportunity, and I hope that everyone else is.
Hello, my name is Marissa Gamble, and I'm going to be talking about creative writing is to me. When I think about creative writing, I think about adventure, romance, comedy, and others, but mostly fantasy. Okay, when I think about something dangerous, then it's like a ninja like just kick the door, and when he looks around to find a princess, he can't find it. And then when she looks at the window, he sees the princess. And then she jumped out the window and got on her motorcycle and started running away. And that's, like, pretty cool to me. And when I think about others, like, fantasy, it's like Lucy, and she's, like, have a friend named Natsu that can, like, do fire and other friends. And when you do creative writing, you think about what you think you want it to be. Like, I want it to be really colorful and other stuff. Or I just want it to be dull and boring. You can make it anything you want it to be. That's what I think creative writing is.
I'm Pell Martyr, and the title of my story is Creative Writing. When I think of creative writing, I usually think of little children screaming in terror and explosions and all kinds of stuff that a lot of people wouldn't expect. When I write, I usually like to surprise people with stuff that wouldn't normally happen, like someone dying right in the middle of something that seems like would be very happy. I usually think of dark, gloomy things instead of bright, colorful, happy days. And a lot of times when I write, it's in the rain. I usually like to write in the rain because it kind of inspires me. And that's what creative writing means to me.
Hi, my name is Reese Calico, and I'm going to talk about what creative writing means to me. To me, creative writing is a universal art and a way to make children's imaginations go on a trip. This trip can take them to many different places, such as an alien planet, a medieval castle, or just the front door of a young girl. It has the ability to give children the gift of a healthy love for reading and writing. It starts out as a spark, a feeling as ancient as the stones on the ground that can blossom into the making of the next generation of authors. Not only is creative writing fun, it can also be powerful. You can sometimes find out who you are from this writing. Before I started writing, I did not know what interested me, but now I know that without fantasy, I would be extremely boring and lost. Even though I am almost 14, I still see dragons flying through the sky. Look at myself as the hero of my own story that has no beginning or end in sight. I define myself through my writing, and I have evolved into one of the best authors I know. But I had to suffer to get to this spot I am at. You can even enter other things into your creative writing. If you like to draw or paint, create character designs. If you like to act, then create a play about your writing. The possibilities are endless.
My name is Ryan Jackson, and this is my thought about creative writing. What creative writing means to me is something pretty insane. It can be anything from anything, anywhere, from on the moon, Jupiter, at the bottom of the ocean, in the center of the planet. It doesn't matter where the setting is. You can always create an amazing story. I am most particularly interested in the fantasy and study of folklore and all the interesting and made-up rooms that have been made. And right now, I am trying to make up a story where there's a person trying to collect every last one of these ancient runes to save a civilization.
My name is Yuri Vasquez, and the top of my story is What is Creative Writing? Well, I'm glad you asked. I am considered very creative, so I should be able to tell you right off the bat what creative writing means to me. It's a many things. It's a very complex way of writing. It's the way of thinking. It's whatever can be imagined. It's action, it's adventure, it's comedy, it's whatever theme you want. Creative writing means to write.
Well, wasn't that interesting to hear their take on creative writing? I wonder what you would say. Well, let's take a break and you can think about it.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nearly everybody struggles with some sort of addiction. It can be substance abuse, eating disorders, sexual addiction, or even something much less common. Tune into Addiction in America with host Rebecca Bullion every week to learn more about these and other addictions. Our goal is to educate you about these addictions in order to help you with regaining control in your life. Addiction in America is broadcast live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Like 30 million other Americans, I have interstitial cystitis, a chronic inflammatory disease that feels like a bladder infection or prostatitis for men. Desert Harvest Concentrated Aloe Vera helps. It appears to give analgesic properties while coating the bladder. It's the only one that has a phase 1 trial. It's whole process, whole leaf, and extremely concentrated. Go to DesertHarvest.com to order or call 1-800-222-3901. Tell them Dr. Melanie sent you. 1-800-222-3901.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. I love those students, and I look forward to being with them every week after I do my show. Now, you're going to learn about my new book. My sister, Robin Pearson, who's been on the show before, is conducting the interview. Here we go. I have asked my sister, Robin, who's been on my show before, to interview me about my book. So thank you, Robin, for doing that.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure, Melanie.
Well, thanks.
Or shall I call you Dr. Melanie?
Whatever, you're my sister. You can call me Melanie.
Okay. So, yes, I have a few questions that I'm sure your listeners are also curious about. So I'll just start with, what is the title of your book, first of all?
Okay. It's called The ABCs of Children's Sermons Based on the Revised common lectionary passages.
And, of course, that leads to my next question. What is a lectionary exactly?
Okay. Many ministers, not all denominations, but many of them, have a guide that lists the scripture passages over a 3-year cycle so that they don't get stuck on using just the same passage from the Bible to write their sermons on a similar topic every week. This gives them a broad range and covers the Bible in a 3-year time span.
I see. It definitely sounds very helpful.
Yes.
Now, I understand that it took you 13 years to
yes.
get this item published, and just tell us, why did it take you 13 years? I think I know, but you please tell your listeners.
Okay. Back when I was in my doctoral program back in 1999 to 2004, one of the goals that we had was to write out a bucket list of what we were going to accomplish over the next 10 years. So I wrote out that list, not realizing that in that time span, I would get divorced, I'd get cancer, I'd have 5 mini strokes, I'd move, become disabled, and I didn't make the time until just recently to say, you know what, it's time to finish it. So I did.
Well, we're so glad you did, and I hope people understand in hearing all of those hurdles that things can be overcome and you can actually do great things. Now, tell us, who is this book suited for?
Okay. In churches, not every church, but in most churches, there is somebody who tells the children's story. It might be the pastor. It might be a layperson from the congregation. It might be somebody from the children's educational ministry. But somebody does it. Well, not everybody is trained to do that or feels comfortable doing that. So this book is a guide for those people, whoever they are, to be able to know how to do it, how to set up to do it. It can also be used in a Sunday school class, an adult discussion group. It can be used in a library for discussion. You can have it in a seminary, or any faith-based group can use it.
I understand it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because there's a variety of topics that are based on relevant today's issues, so it's a great discussion starter.
And I did see that in looking through it, that it's going to be able to be used by many different people in many different facets.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell us, why did you write it? What started you, or what got you to write this?
Well, I've been in the ministry for over 35 years, and I always wanted to make certain that I was taking care of the children's needs, not just the adults. So I would try to find a children's sermon guide or an example to use along with my sermons. And I got so frustrated because they were over the kids' heads, or it appealed to the adults in the service but not the kids. So I started writing children's sermons to accompany my adult sermons so that they would go hand in hand, so the kids could begin to understand what the sermon was about. It was kind of like an appetizer for the adults.
Mm-hmm. And so you were doing it to help yourself, but
yes.
At some point realized this might be an incredibly beneficial item for others.
Yes.
And why don't you tell us, are the stories personal from your own life experience? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, some of them are. But I tried to make them generic so they weren't too personalized. One of the stories about the little girl getting locked in a mausoleum, that actually happened to me at the age of 5. And it was very, very terrifying. But from that experience, I learned that God is with us no matter where we are and that we can survive things. So, yes, many of the stories are, but they're written in such a way that whoever's going to tell the story can take that experience and either use that, or they can come up with one that's similar of their own.
I see. So, yes, it's very universal and very flexible for people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do people need to buy the book and the CDs? What if they just want to have the e-book?
Well, they could do that. But the way that the book is designed is it's a guide with tools, and it tells you what props to get. And then the CD that goes along with it, I actually tell the stories on the CD. And there's, you know, the sample stories are in the book, But if you want to hear how it's to be presented from my viewpoint, then you need the CD to go with it. But if you don't want to put another book on your shelf to have to dust, you can get the ebook, and it on my website it will tell you how to do that, and then you can just order the CD to go with it.
So lots of options.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure people are going to be curious, other than the being locked in a mausoleum story, which I know very well about, have heard it over the years, but
yes,
perhaps you could give us a sample of a couple of the stories that people would find.
Sure.
In your book.
Okay, this first one is found on page 32, and it's for the fourth Sunday of Easter, because what the lectionary does is it goes week by week in the church year, and the church year actually starts in Advent, which is like the beginning of December. So this is around, this would be the fourth Sunday after Easter, and it comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and it's called Wandering Off. And it tells you that you need to have a picture of sheep, and then it tells you to show the picture of the sheep. And then I say, have you ever watched sheep on a farm? They all just go wherever they want to, unless the shepherd leads them. They want to eat grass that looks yummy, so they get outside the pen and keep munching away till they're so far away from the flock that it's impossible to find their way back. And then they start bleating, please, shepherd, come bring me back. I promise I won't wander off again. Then the shepherd finds them and brings them back lovingly. He reminds them that although the grass looks tasty, it can lead them so far away that they're unable to find their way back on their own. And then, boys and girls, did you know that we're like sheep? We get some ideas of things we want to do, and we wander off, forgetting all about church, God, and other important things. One day we notice how far we are from God, and we want to come back. Can we? We sure can. Ask God to bring us back to church, our family, and our friends. Remember this when you become a teenager and you think church isn't cool anymore. God will still be here when you wander off, and when you get tired of trying things your own way, God will welcome you back. Now let's pray about it. Dear God, when I become a teenager and I think church isn't cool anymore, remind me that you're always there, and that church and talking to you is always a good thing to do, no matter what age I am. Amen.
Love it.
Yes.
Can so relate to it in so many ways. Darn it.
Yes, yes. And then the second story is from Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday after Epiphany, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. It comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, and it says, look at my face. And the item you need is a flashlight, and it says, show the flashlight and shine it under your chin. And then you say to the boys and girls, look at my face without the flashlight shining on it. Now, look at my face when I do shine the light on it. How does it look different? Well, Jesus went up on the top of the mountain with three of his disciples, and he started to light up from the inside. God did that to him. It was to show that God was there with him. Do you ever feel like God is in you? Well, we can ask God to help us look like God lives inside of us so other people will notice and ask about it. So let's ask God to help us with that. God, when people look at me, I want to live so others will be drawn to you. Please help me to live that way. Thank you, God. Amen.
Wow, is that perfect for adults as well as children?
Yes.
I see how it can be very flexible, and some adults could learn a few things themselves. So, very nice. Now, if folks are interested in finding your book and CDs, and I guess, first of all, we need to talk a little bit about how much does it cost and how could someone get these books and CDs if they'd like them.
Okay. I do recommend they get the CD and the book together. And if they live in the United States, the cost of the two, which includes shipping, is $35. If they want just the book, if they're in the United States, it's $21.95. And if they just want the CD, it's $17.50. If you just want the ebook, it's $3.99. And the way you get all this is you go to my website, thedrmelanieshow.com, then go to the tab that says Store and Links page, and you click on the picture of whichever item you want, and it will take you directly to PayPal, so you can pay for your transaction.
Sounds pretty easy.
Uh-huh.
And if someone doesn't care to do it through electronic means, are you going to be doing any book signings or a book tour in the future?
Yes, I am. So if people want to do that, if they will email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, we can arrange that.
Excellent.
Well, this has been very interesting to be on the other side of being the interviewee instead of the interviewer.
I'll bet, yes. Yeah.
So I appreciate my dear sister doing that for me, so thank you.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, please, listeners, go purchase my book and CDs and then let me know what you think. Thanks a lot.
All right, folks, it's time to wrap up today's show. Please go to the drmelaniebarton.com and write me what you think. And remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week. Goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.